Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
God, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. And we lift you high. Come on, give him a clap offering from your gut. Give him a clap offering. An expectation of what he's going to do. And thankfulness for what he has already done. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, God, you're so good. Amen. Doesn't that just feel good? Go ahead, have a seat. Just feeds the spirit just that little bit more. Well, I am so glad that I snuck in to the Epstein Theater before you guys were about moving again. I've been annoyed for months. I haven't preached for months. I thought I'd done something wrong, but I've not been here for ages. And I thought, I want to get to the Epstein. I want to get to the Epstein. I want to get to the Epstein just so I can be looking down. No, that's not why at all. It's because I love the stage and the platform. And like, this is amazing, though it is really high, especially with these. I was told not to wear heels. And I thought, no, all the anointing's in the heel. I can't preach without heels. So, you know, sorry, I know I am like way up here, but I'll try and stay back here. But you know me. Those of you who know me, it's not going to work at all. We are in a slipstream right now of the goodness and the grace of God. We are in a slipstream where things are moving quicker than they've moved previously. It's not just us. It's not just Hope City, but it is across the board with the wider church that there is suddenly a slipstream. That's the word that keeps going over and over in my spirit. And there's a couple of things I'm very excited to share with you today that I felt like God very specifically has said is for this location, right? But in general, there is a slipstream. I want you to imagine just this stream, this roaring river, this, you know, that when you hop into it, you're going quicker where you wanted to go. Things are happening quicker than they happened previously. We've had a long number of years and seasons of 7, 8, 9 years where there's been pushing and pushing and pushing. And it feels like you've had to push things out of the way and really fight. Now, I'm not saying we're not going to have to fight again, but I am saying we have a short window where I honestly believe the grace and the goodness of God is on this, and God's opening doors quickly. He's making a way quickly. He's saying, I'm going to do things much quicker. There's a favor right there. And that's why I wanted to start with just let me get in the presence of God. Because it's in that place that you sense it and that you know it and that he empowers you to do it. It's not just sensing. It's not just knowing. But it's being empowered to step into that thing that God's asking you to do. And I believe as I speak today, God's going to individually give words. He's going to individually speak into your situation and into your lives. But this slipstream is powerful. This slipstream, it doesn't come very often. It doesn't happen all the time. And so I don't know about you, but I'm like, God, I'm there, I'm there, I'm there. I'll swim wherever you want me to swim. I'll jump wherever you want me to jump. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just get into. And some of you, I feel like you might be kind of hanging out a bit on the edge, a bit like, I don't know, not done that before, not seen that before, not. I'm just kind of a bit like this. And I just want to say, with all love and compassion of the Holy Spirit, trust the Almighty God to know exactly what you need, exactly what you're holding out for, exactly what you want, exactly why you're afraid to step into that place. Trust the Almighty God that he knows. He knows, he knows, he knows. And he has already taken care of it. All we have to do is say, yes, God. I'll get into the slipstream of what you're doing. Yes, God. I'll move into that place. Some of you this morning are even hungry for something that you can see happening. You can kind of feel it, but you can't really feel it. You're just like, oh, there's something just a little bit more that I'm seeing, I'm trying to touch. It's kind of right there. It's in the slipstream of the presence and the goodness of God. Some of you can feel it in the room. You can feel his presence. I love the presence of God. Tell you what, there's very little that I love. I don't know if there's anything that I love more than just getting into and sitting in the presence of Almighty God. Phil Pringle made a statement somewhere over the 55 conferences we went to that week. which said most leaders say they wish they would have dreamed bigger. Most leaders say they wish they would have dreamed bigger. Now, I've been doing this preach over the last couple locations, but I love how God changes every single location I go to. He has a completely kind of a different angle with it, and there's definitely a different one with this. But I do want to put up this slide, if you've got it, that when I was in the States a few weeks back, I was over there, and I was going through, you know, looking for those pictures, those black and white pictures that have all these sayings on them. You know, most of them are really cheesy. You know, I can't think of what they are now, but you know, just those basic black and white. And so they've got all these little, and they're kind of the cool thing now. Some of them say happiness, love, joy, peace, blah, 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 and it's like this long thin, right? Well, there was one, if you've got it, go ahead and put up. There was one, do we have the slide? Do you know? Was it given to you? Okay. There was one that I saw when I was walking through the store. And as I was walking through, I'll just say it. I was walking through the store and it stopped me in my tracks. And all it was a black sign. And in white letters, it said, pray big across it. Pray big. And something went off in me. And I thought, oh, I want to be like that. I want to be the person that prays big, you know, that believes big. Like when you pray, it isn't just praying. It isn't just saying words. It comes from the gut. It's like, I'm actually believing what I'm saying is going to happen. I'm not just speaking words. I'm not praying from here. I'm praying from here. We got to pray from down here, not pray from up here. And certainly don't be praying from up here. You're praying from your gut. I'm praying big from this place. I'm believing big from this place, that I truly do believe my God can do anything. I truly do believe my God is the God of the impossible. I believe he can break down walls. I believe he can heal. I believe he can raise from the dead. I believe he can just drop money and put it in your account. I believe God is God. There's no one and nothing greater than who he is. When I get that stuck down here, then I begin to pray big prayers. And I say, we can take this city. We can see revival in this country. We can see London change. We can see Liverpool change. We can see people saved out of slavery. We can see people redeemed and saved and healed. But suddenly again, you pray big, you get excited. That's the slipstream that we're in. God's saying, pray big prayers, be in the slipstream, and there's grace and there's favor over that. Now, even as I preach it, there's still a bit of kind of cynicism and not sure in the air. And I'm going to try by the end of this that suddenly those that are a bit on the outside are like, I am fully in. I want to be fully in. Don't be half in, half out, right? Great that you're here if you're half and out. I'm speaking to those who've been around for a while, right? And are still half in, half out. I want to be fully in to all God's doing. But to pray big, I need to know that he is big. And I need to know the bigness of my God. I've been thinking a lot recently about David and Goliath. Well-known story. See the picture that David Stoner put on Instagram. Oh, David Stoner. Oh, David Stoner. You know, he's like, oh, I thought you'd love it. Oh, you little liar, and you're a lead pastor. You knew I would. It was after I jumped out of an airplane 15,000 feet. You know, your hair's not going to look good, right? And I'm like, you know, kind of a bit like this after jumping out of an airplane, right? So because of that, so David, stand up. Now, don't move. So I just thought I'd do a little illustration, Come on, catch me, Dave. Right? Sadly, in this illustration, he's the good guy. I really wanted him to be the bad guy. But of David and Goliath, right? Just to put into perspective, we know that Goliath was 9 to 10 feet tall. Okay? Now, if that's probably about 4, I'm probably with heels up to about 6-ish foot. I'm thinking this might be fairly similar, right, to the height, because it's the height of a basketball hoop, for anybody who knows what that is over here. It's the height of a basketball hoop, right, is about 10 feet. That's about how tall Goliath was. So this did not help me in this illustration, but this is Goliath, right? And he's got his armor. Stand up, don't move. He's got his helmet. He's got his spear. He's got an armor bearer in front of him. And you've got teeny weeny, tiny little David standing down there. This is what short little David was up against to big, huge. I'm just messing with you. I really love these two. I love, like Dave said, I've loved getting to know them the last couple months. But this is the size of David compared to the size of Goliath. This is what he was up against. We've read the story so many times, we forget how small, no sword, a couple of pebbles, and how big the obstacle was in front of him. Now you can sit down. Now what I love about this is David wasn't at the battle for the 40 days that all the rest of them were. Because for 40 days they heard over and over and over again that they were going to die, they were going to die, they were going to die, they were going to die. As Goliath spoke out negative, 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 negative. You're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. An entire army would come out, hear the negative words, go back and hide. Isn't that what we do? Have a little bit of faith, negative word, go back and hide. So they did that day after day after day after day. Until David, who hadn't been at the battle, hadn't heard it, was coming with fresh eyes. And that's the first part of what I want to say. We've got to have fresh eyes in the situations that we're looking at. Because some of us have been sitting in them for too many years. And we've been around them for too many years. And we've had the negative surround us for too many years. And I'm telling you what, it came so strong. I was on a run. I was praying for you guys. And God, fresh, 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 fresh. There's fresh eyes. Somebody needs some stuff taken down. And for you to have fresh eyes that you're looking at your situation. Because this is what happens when you come with fresh eyes. David arrived with fresh eyes. David arrived with fresh faith. David arrived ready to be at the battle, right? So he arrives carrying his cheese for his brothers. Because obviously, his dad thought his brothers were going to be there for a while. His dad didn't have much faith either because he sent him with a bunch of food. Yeah, they're going to be there for a while. So David's carrying all the stuff that they need to stay in their fear. He drops all that off and then he runs to the battle line because he's a warrior. He runs to the battle line. He hears what's been said. He turns to someone from Goliath and he turns to someone and says, well, what happens? Who kills this guy? And they're like, well, you get a lot of money. You get a beautiful woman. You don't have to pay taxes the rest of your life. Yeah, I know. Wow. And David's like seriously looking around like nobody's taken up this offer. He asked three times for clarity because it was too good to be true. We're coming into a too good to be true season, by the way. Okay. But this seemed too good to be true. And so David's like, seriously, what's going to happen? When you get this beautiful woman, you don't have to pay taxes and you get a lot of money. He was dumbfounded, right? That nobody had taken this up. Small David, huge Goliath, fresh eyes, who knew his God. And so he came with a freshness of the experience of God's faithfulness. We often look at our situations instead with the freshness of where we've seen God not come through, where we've seen failure, where we've seen defeat, where we've seen negativity. We allow that to lead our thinking. We've got to push that aside and come with fresh eyes. That's why I start in the presence of God. I start worshiping God. I start knowing God. I start putting God in the place that God deserves to be, high and lifted up. And suddenly he becomes bigger than any obstacle that is in front of me. Anything that might come against me, it cannot come against my God. And David arrives with all of that. And he basically says to him, I might be small. He doesn't even say that. He doesn't declare any of that out of his mouth. But he's, in essence, I might be tiny, but my God is with me. And my God is far greater than you. And I come not just knowing the character of my God, but I come knowing the faithfulness of my God. Because the faithfulness was, David had killed the lion and the bear. And I was thinking about that again on the drive here, and I thought, flip. It says in the word, he grabbed it by its hair. Now think of a lion. Where's his hair? Around his mouth. Okay? He had to go near the mouth of the enemy to grab it, to defeat it. He had no fear about doing that because he knew his God. Someone needs to get this in your gut. We can come that close because I'm not coming in my power. I'm not coming in my strength. I'm not coming as Jen Baker. I am coming as a child of the Almighty God that is coming behind me, that is reaching through me, that is grabbing the mouth of the enemy and defeating it. David knew he had nothing to worry about. The guy was huge. He wasn't going to miss him. He was full of confidence, but it still wasn't in himself. He said, because I come in you in the name of my God. Oh, someone needs to come in the name of your God. Fresh eyes. Look at your issue and your problem in the name of your God. Look at it through fresh God's eyes. There's this verse in Isaiah. Isaiah 43, verse 16 to 19. And this is what it says. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now this is the second part. And I've mentioned this the last couple of times, but haven't felt it nearly as strong as I felt to share here. In fact, let me open it. Keep the scripture up there, the last part of it. So this is what the Lord says. Keep that part up there. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements, and they lay there never to rise again. Now I want you to get this picture. Okay, we know this is all about the parting of the Red Sea. Moses gets to the Red Sea. Don't know what to do. Enemy behind me, sea in front of me. Problem, right? Let's actually do it this way. You can see it better. Problem. Okay, so there's the sea. So what happens? We know what happens is God comes down. He parts the sea, parts the waters, and they go through on dry ground. Now, this is, in essence, what has been going on for a number of years. The power of God came down and removed the obstacle. And this is what we've been praying and praying and praying. At least I have. I'm sure some of you have. You're praying against obstacles. You're praying against obstacles. You're praying. Has anybody else felt like you've just been praying against obstacles and praying against obstacles? And we've gone through that season where you're pushing through and you're pushing through and you're pushing through and you're seeing obstacles moved out of the way. Yes, go God. All right. But you're pushing through. You're pushing. You're making a way. That's what God was doing. He said, I'm making a way. I'm removing the obstacle so that you can come through on dry ground. But then he says, I'm doing a new thing. We suddenly switched it. And what does it say now? I'm bringing streams of water into the dry land. Here he removed the water out of the way. Now it's a new season where the streams of water are coming in. In other words, there is an empowerment now that is coming. Power removed the obstacle. Now power is suddenly coming in and establishing something in the dry places. God is coming and establishing something in your dry places. There's a dryness that has been there because you've been pushing and pushing and pushing and believing and believing and believing. I'm telling you what, get excited, because there is a presence coming, a sense of God's spirit that's moving in power. And as he comes in power, suddenly he's filling up those dry places. And when that's filled up, then you can be established. That's the word that God put on my heart. I texted to Dave Gilpin last night because I want to be under and say, Dave, is it all right that I'm preaching? And he said, absolutely. God is establishing. You're moving into a season of being established. Now, I love this. In 2 Samuel 7, when your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He's talking to David. He's the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Verse 16, your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Now, what I love about that is God was saying to David, to King David, your throne will be established forever. Now, we know that that throne went all the way down to Jesus Christ and continues forever. The establishment that happened went beyond David's time. We have got to begin to believe God established something in me, established something in Hope City, Liverpool, established something in Hope City Church, established something into the United Kingdom that is going to continue far beyond our time. I'm not just saying establish something that I can be blessed. No, I'm saying establish something of the presence of God, the power of God, the might of God, the revival of God, the spirit of God, as it's established down, will go far beyond my time. And I just had this picture. I didn't know actually when God had given me that you guys were going to be moving in a couple weeks. I had no idea that actually you were going to be moving. And I just had such a sense as I saw that word establish that wherever you're moving to, where God's planting you, I want you to get it in your gut. This is a season of establishment. It is a season of putting something down, putting a mark down. You've had so many amazing seasons, but I feel like this is, you've moved into, and Dave said it, you've moved into something new. We're in a kind of a fresh season, and it is very much get my voice out there, get our roots down. This is who we are, people. This is who God is, people. And as we begin to proclaim that, it's going out there. We're establishing something. We're not here to do church. I keep saying that. I don't know where it's come from. I keep saying to everyone, I'm not here to just do church. I'm here to touch the hem of Jesus's robe. I'm here to see salvation. I'm here to see revival. I haven't moved 4,000 miles away to do church. I could do church back in America. I want to do church and do the presence of God and do all that God wants right now, right here where he's establishing. He's establishing his presence in this place. When you're walking down the streets, you are praying, God, let your presence be established. Let your presence be established. Where I put my foot, the presence of God goes. Where I walk, the power of God will be. Where I step, I will see God move. Move down walls, move down. But pray it as you're walking your city, as you're in your universities. People, this gets exciting. It gets so exciting. That's the slipstream that we are moving into. I love that in verse 18. And Prophet Nathan came back and told David, this is what God said. Nathan's response in verse 18 was, who am I? I love that. Who am I? You see, that's the heart of the worshiper. You saw the heart of the warrior. But that's the heart of the worshiper. And you must always have both. Because David was a man after God's own heart. It included worship. And it included war. It included defeating the enemy. But it included the humility of who am I to you, God? Who am I? You see, we have to keep in balance. It isn't because we get up here and scream and shout and pound and walk those streets. Yeah, that's the warrior. But we also need to say, God, who am I? Not I, Lord, but you in your presence. That's what's going to make a difference. That's what's going to change this world. We're not God, but he is God. I spoke that at the leadership conference. We're not God. I'm not God. But he's God. Keep those two in check. I know who I am. I'm not. But whoa, you're God. And we work in partnership. And because you're God, I'm empowered. And because I'm empowered, I can establish and I can declare and I can see God move and I can see lives changed. I'm telling you what, guys, revival, the presence of God is wanting to come to this nation. I sense God's just, he's just on the edge. And as Dave says, it's here. Okay, I'm not going against what Dave said. It's here. I'm telling you, we're going to see a different level of. It's that water. It's the up to your ankles. And then it's something. There's something that's just on the edge to come out. That's the slipstream. Hebrews 6. I can use quite a few scriptures, but I want to base this all on scripture. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15. Says this, and so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Now leave that up there for a minute. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. You can read those words in about, I don't know, 2.5 seconds. 10 words. That took 25 years to happen. 2.5 seconds. 10 words. 25 years after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Abraham lived every single one of those words. And I feel like, again, there's this sense of we've been waiting patiently, waiting patiently, waiting patiently, waiting patiently, waiting patiently, waiting patiently, comma. I've been told nobody sat on the edge of the platform, so I thought it needed to happen before you left the Epstein. Comma. Waited patiently, waited patiently, waited patiently, waited patiently. Comma. Some of you have put a full stop right here in this comma. It's not a full stop, it's a comma. It's just a comma. Stop putting a full stop where there's a comma. God didn't say, and so Abraham waited patiently. The end. And so Abraham waited patiently, comma. And then Abraham gets up in heels. He moves over here. And he receives what was promised. The miracle that he'd waited 25 years to receive. Some of you have been waiting patiently in your jobs, in your finance, in praying for loved ones, in this church. You've been waiting and you've been waiting and you've been waiting. And I want to say this. Make sure this is a comma, not a full stop. And in this comma, don't keep looking that way. He waited patiently. He waited. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. No, no, no. I want you to get in your spirit an expectation. He received. He received. He received. He received. He received. You know what? To establish means this: to bring into being on a firm or a stable basis. To bring into being on a firm or a stable basis. What are you going to establish in your lives? Okay, let's take that full stop, make it a comma. I'm believing that I'm going to establish, I'm receiving something, and I'm going to establish something in my life. I'm going to establish something as Hope City Liverpool. I'm going to establish something in my family. I'm going to establish something in my job. There's something you've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I'm telling you what, it's a season to establish something. What are you saying? I'm actually establishing this. I am putting a stake down. I am absolutely believing that God is who he says he is, that God will do what he has told me that he will do. I am looking that direction. I'm expecting those next five words or whatever to be mine in the next few days, in the next year, whatever it is, God, I'm not looking that way. I've turned my back. I'm sitting on my comma and I am expecting that. I am established in this. I'm not moving. I'm not going backwards. I am not moving off my comma. Don't kick me off my comma until you take me into that next place. Don't be sitting on the fence. Sit on your comma, right? You're sitting on the comma, looking that direction. I'm not saying we're fully here yet, but I'm saying I am expecting to be there. I'm expecting to see that. I'm expecting to go there. Why? Because we're in a slipstream of the presence of God. We're in the slipstream of all that God's doing right now. He's moving so rapidly. It's so exciting. Now let me give you one last scripture. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Great little scriptures here. Chapter 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he'd performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside, sat down with his disciples. La la la. Verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test them, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip said 8 months' wages would not be enough to buy bread for everyone to have a bite. Philip, Mr. No faith whatsoever. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Well, here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." I love that. Did you catch it? Obviously not. Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will it go amongst so many? Andrew got his butt in the way. All right. You have this whole sentence and he's stuck. Go with me here. The but in the middle of the sentence. He was doing great up until that point. He was doing brilliantly. Hey, here we go. I've got faith. I've got a little bit of food. Use this. Isn't this great? Woohoo! Okay. He could have stopped right there, but he stuck his butt in it and said, but how's that going to work with all these people? Don't look at the size of what's in front of you. Keep your eyes on the greatness and the goodness of who God is. That then allows you to establish what God wants to do. That allows you to get your eyes in a fresh perspective to see what God's going to do. Don't stick a butt in there. God, I think you could do all of this, but if it's not your will. No, I believe that you are God, and I'm going to believe to the last second that we are going to see breakthrough, we're going to see healing, we're going to see wholeness, we're going to see miracles, because you love someone of faith. We are people of faith, guys. Don't put a butt in there. Get the butt out. You don't want it in there. Not if you're establishing something. You don't establish something and go, but maybe it won't work. No. You're moving. And you're declaring, this is it, guys. This is a new season. This is a season of establishing. This is a season of putting down a mark in a way that we haven't been able to yet. This is a season of getting into the universities. This is a season of seeing the Spirit of God move across this place. I'm telling you what, you will be looking out and see and sense the Spirit of God moving across this place and in people's lives. Get hungry for it, guys. Don't come just to go to church. Sorry, I'm being a little mean. Maybe that's why I haven't been back for months. Don't come just to go to church. Get the Spirit of God so fresh in this place. Andrew had seed and he didn't look at it. You've got to always look at the size of your seed before you see your need. That's looking at it with a fresh perspective. That's looking at it knowing God is God. And God can do anything. That's looking at it with David's eyes. I'm not looking at the size of that. I've seen the size of my God. And I want to finish with something that happened to me in London a few years back. It's probably about 3, 4, or 5 years ago, something like that. I was living in London, and I had a friend from the States come over. And she was over for a few days. And so we one day went out to eat down somewhere near the Tower of London over there. And it was great. Had a good time. Woo, okay, out to eat. It was quite late when we finished. And so we were starting to walk back to my flat. And it's going to be a bit of a walk, but we thought we'll give it a go. It was freezing cold. It was like nearly snowing, that cold, right? But we thought, okay, if we start walking fast enough, you know, we'll kind of warm up. And so we left the restaurant. And I can remember we were standing there. And she's like, I'm thinking, oh, wait, let me think. Which way do we go? You've heard me say it before, never, ever listen to my directions. But I said, I'm pretty sure it's that direction. She's like, really? I thought we came from that way. And I'm like, no. I said, I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure. Yep, I'm sure I've seen that before. I'm sure it's that direction. Yeah, I'm going to drive my husband nuts one day with this. I already know this is going to be his massive pet peeve. He's going to be like, honey, no, it's that. No, I know it's this way, right? So no, this is the way. This is the way we're going to go. So she's like, well, okay, all right. So we're walking and we're walking and we're walking. And we're walking and we're walking and we're now walking for about a half an hour. And we're very now aware that we're nowhere near the tube station. In fact, we've walked so far out of the city, there aren't tube stations around at this point. We'd been walking so long, freezing cold. Finally, after a half hour, I said, I think maybe it was the other direction. I said, really? So there was this pub right there. So I thought, well, let's just nip in and get warm real quick. So we just stood by the fire for like 2 minutes just to kind of warm up, thaw out. And then we came back out. So we walked out. Now in our heads thinking, oh my word, okay, we got another half hour to walk back to then get to the tube station, which was however far past that. So I'm like, come on, we can do it. So we try to have a good day. We're kind of laughing, like, okay, come on, here we go. Woo-hoo! Come on, this is going to be fine. This is going to be great, you know? And so we've been walking literally about 20 seconds, something like that, not very long at all. And then she said, didn't we turn down this way down here? And I said, no, I thought we'd just been going straight the whole time. She said, I'm sure we turned there. And I thought, well, I obviously don't know, you know, don't listen to me. So I was like, okay, maybe you're right. So we turned, and then we realized as soon as we turned, we were walking a few seconds. We're like, no, wait a minute. but there was a corner up here. So we're like, well, let's just take that corner. So we just walked around that corner. We walked around the corner, came onto the street, and we were talking, and suddenly we looked up. And we looked back. And there's a tube station. Not one that we had passed. One that we'd been looking for. That was 30 minutes down the road. That way. Now, a few minutes prior to this, we'd been joking. Hey, wouldn't it be great if God would just, you know, do what he did in the Bible? See, it is biblical. And just put us there. And we looked at each other. We didn't say anything for a minute. And I actually haven't told the story in years, but I felt in my gut I'm supposed to be telling it now. And she said, did that just happen to us? And I said, uh-huh. And she said, I'm really glad you're with me because nobody's going to believe me otherwise. We have a big, amazing, awesome, powerful God that can do anything. Why did he need to take his girl from there to there? She was cold. He didn't need to. He didn't need to. But he wanted to. I'm telling you what, God can do in a second what should take an hour. God can do in a second what could take a year. God can do in a second what should take 20 years. God can do. Let's get our picture of who God is and make it larger. Let's believe that God really is who the Bible says that he is. He can take people from here to here in a second. He can multiply food in a second. He can save your friend in a second. That's who my God is. I want to be established on something firm and solid in order to see the goodness of God reach far beyond me into generations and generations and generations and generations. God is saying to you guys, come with a fresh eye. Come with a fresh perspective. Don't take what's always been and assume it will always be. Let me say that again. Don't take what has always been and assume it will always be, because you've suddenly removed God from the equation if you do that. God's a good God. So full of love and grace for you. And he's saying, expect something different. Close your eyes right now. Expect something different. Expect something different. Expect something different. Expect. Someone right now, you need to expect something different. Change what you've been expecting and expect something different. Change what you've been believing. Expect something different. Expect God to move. Expect God to work on your behalf. Expect a miracle. Expect the situation to change. Get your hope up to the place of God's power and who he is and what he can do. Holy Spirit, right now, I pray that you move across this place with your love and with your mercy. And God, I pray for those who've been expecting and not seeing, and expecting and not seeing, and expecting and not seeing, and expecting. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that to be removed. And I pray a fresh touch of faith right now, a fresh touch of faith. Your sense in the Holy Spirit, he's with you right now. A fresh touch of faith. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up with a fresh touch of faith. Right now, just lift your hands, those of you who need fresh eyes. In the name of Jesus, seal, Holy Spirit, seal within our hearts. Seal within our hearts. You do it, Holy Spirit. You take off that old right now. Take it off. Take off that weight. Take off that fear. Take off that frustration. Just take it off. Just let it go. And right now, receive an empowerment and a feeling of the fresh, 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 fresh. Fresh touch, fresh empowering, fresh. Just let it wash over you. Fresh. It's fresh. Newly washed, newly fresh, newly free. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If there's anyone here and you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about. Or maybe you did at one time, but life has pushed you away. There is no better time than right now in this moment to just come back into the slipstream. And I just want to pray for you if that's you. I want to pray for you if you say, I just want that freshness in a new way. That's what I'm going to establish today. I'm establishing a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's now Lord over my life. He's not just part of, he actually is Lord. There's some of you that need to make him Lord over your life. So I want us all to pray together. Dear Jesus, you know my past. You know my present. You know my future. You know how I've walked away from you. You know how I've put you off to the side. You know my fear. But today, I want to move into the slipstream of all that you are and all that you're doing. Today, Jesus, I make you Lord. Lord over my life. Lord over my finances. Lord over my marriage. Lord over my relationships. Lord over my hopes. And Lord over my dreams. I declare you are my Lord and you are my God. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.